I think there's a place also to help the, you know, the child who's being bullied to understand, you know, what's happening or why the other child is bullying him. You are listening to the WADT podcast. In an earlier episode, we talked about helping our kids find and choose friends. Now, most of our kids' friends are good, but they might encounter those that are not so good. They are the mean kids. If your kid is being bullied by a mean kid, would you know what to do? This will be the subject of our discussion today. And with me are my co-hosts, Hafiz, Kevin, and Elvina. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
All right. So today we are talking about bullying and the mean kids. So let's try to define bullying first. Anyone want to try?
I think the traditional way of bullying that I know is the kind of whack, you know, just don't like the
physical. Like
the, yeah, physical one. I don't like the guy's face or the guy tease me, then I just go and gang up here and just go and beat the fella. I think another way of bullying also is by money. So it's like, give me your money, kind, you know, give me some pocket money. Yeah.
Mm-mm. These are just more like extortion, right?
But it's a form of bullying, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is.
Sure.
Okay.
But there's also non-physical forms, right? And what are they? Anyone?
The emotional, psychological, yeah. Passive aggressive, you know?
Yeah. The relational types that I think that girls probably are more subjected to,
terms the of cold, like, wars, you know,
all the rumors, like, spreading and stuff like that.
Even I heard ignoring a child, a child can a person can feel that she's being singled out or bullied psychologically.
Absolutely. and it can start from a very, very young age, you know. I mean, I just recall my eldest when she was around 8, you know, and it was in ballet class. And she wanted to hang around her usual group of girlfriends, right? But what happened was something changed. Someone suddenly, I think a few of them suddenly own their own mobile phones. So when she started to join the group and then she realized that she didn't have one, it's as simple as that. They just looked at her and then they said, oh, you don't have a phone. You can't join us anymore. So yeah, it can start from a very young age over something like that. It used to be toys, right? You know? If you don't give me that toy, you can't play with me or something like that. And now, you know, things are becoming more sophisticated.
What about cyberbullying? I've heard that a lot. Cyberbullying?
Oh, yes. That's like a huge world out there. A huge, huge world. And I don't know how, you know, it's hard for parents to sort of keep up. But I think it's important. So just while we're talking about that, when my children opened up their accounts on Instagram, one of our conditions was this, that we have to be their friend. They have to accept us as their friend on IG. And I think because they were relatively young, I think they were like 11 or 12. And so we were part of their group. So we were privy to, you know, the kind of things they post, the comments that they get and stuff like that. So because of that, we were part of that world. So I think that actually helped in terms of, you know, entering into their world and also reading some of these comments that, like, what's that about? But anyway, yeah. What is that?
I think cyberbullying can be, in a way, worse than the actual bullying when you're face-to-face, you know, with people. Because cyberbullying, there are many people on the net, you know, and some people you do not know. So people just chip in. They will add fuel to the fire, you know, and things like that. And so you can, you know, instead of just having one or two mean kids in school, for example, you end up having thousands of people, you know, coming against you, making comments and criticizing you and all kinds of things. So it's can be much worse when it's online.
Mm. Yeah, you know, when they grow up, they cancel people. So there's this term, right, in the cyber world or social media, get cancelled, and it really, you know, you have everyone in the cyber world, you know, or netizens coming and attack on a person. And after that person is, you know, really stressed and emotionally affected, and even get their character assassinated, you know. So again, it's not just relevant for kids, children, but also I think as adults, we also have to be aware that this happens.
Yeah.
The intensity of it, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is the motivation, or what's the, you know, what causes someone to bully others in whatever form?
I sometimes think some kids sometimes present themselves as easy targets, whether it's their size or whether it's purely because they appear different one way or another. They become an easy target for kids who are already maybe looking out for someone. I guess sometimes, you know, bullies also don't, I think bullies also, or mean kids, if you say, they don't feel good about themselves in the first place. So they're looking for something, some sort of distraction, feeling some sense of power and control over a situation that maybe an area in their life they don't feel they have that. Yeah.
Mm. So Evelyn, you're saying that it can be caused by the bully as well as the bullied as well.
Yeah. So sometimes it's one of those things, which is why I think parents can have an impact to make sure that their kids don't appear as an easy target for some reason, right? If they understand what kids maybe are, you know, looking for, looking at, something like that. I mean, obviously, you can't change a kid. If a kid is just small or soft-spoken in nature, that is who they are. But there are other things that we could do, to help. But I think, for example, when I talk about how bullies wanting to feel power and control, so they exert power and control over someone else in school, let's say. So I give an example. My boy was being bullied in school, and it was a neighborhood. So when we went around neighborhood, you know, it was like one Sunday supermarket or something, and then he pointed out, hey, that's the boy. And I saw the boy with his family, and within his family, he was being bullied. So it gave me a perspective into this bully's life about why he wants to exert control in school, where he is now more powerful because he's powerless, feels powerless at home, maybe. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So you were saying also that how you reacted to that, your child pointing out.
Oh, I just observed. Because I thought, okay, I need to understand what is the situation. I came more as a out of curiosity, you know. I wanted to see the child in his personal element and his interaction. I wanted to see a bit more about, understand a bit more of the child. So when I saw what was happening, then I have a different perspective of this child and understanding
Were you able to do anything?
In terms of? Oh, no, I mean, he was
confronting that bully.
Yeah, confronting or talk to your child.
The child? Yeah. No. Because he was with his family, and you know, that's their own family dynamics, right? So I just I was an observer and I was watching. Bullying in a sense where there was aggression. Aggression in the way the family members spoke to him, you know, and shoving, you know, that kind. So I thought, okay, this is the way the family interacts. So it gave me an idea. But I didn't confront him with this. Hey, are you the boy who's my son says you've been bullying him? So I don't think that's the right place, or I'm in a position to do that. Yeah. And that was never my intention anyway.
I mean, I think if he did that, I think he could back kind of bullied again by his parents.
Yeah.
How come you go and bully the boy? And then that's it.
No.
What do you say to your child?
When my boy told me?
Yeah.
About him being bullied?
Yep.
So when he told me about it, of course, you know, after the whole crying, hugging, comforting, you know, validating the emotions, my question has always been to my children, what do you plan to do? Like, how do you plan to handle this? That has always been my go-to. It's never been my thought, or I hold back my initial mama bear instincts to dive in and fix and solve the problem and report and all that. So I rein that in. I just tell the kids, you know, like, how do you plan to handle this? And most times the kids have an idea what they plan to do. Yeah, and they prefer me not to get involved. Because they said, if you get involved, it's going to get worse for me in school.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I mean, it's not easy.
Things that happen after that, yeah.
Mm. So, if it happened in school, all right, I mean, asking all of you, all of you may have children in school before, right? Is there any other people that can play the role other than the family? You know, how do we approach the other players in the child's environment? Like the school, the teachers, you think they have a role to play?
I think they do have a role to play, but in many cases, it's quite limited because, you know, they didn't actually witness the thing. You know, it's only, you know, through the reports, all right, especially when parents call up the school and talk to the principal or the teacher in charge. So, the teachers might say, oh, I didn't know that this was happening, you know, so I'll keep an eye out. So it's just, I think it's the same situation, you know, as the parent, you know, it's not appropriate to walk up to the boy, although some parents would do that, you know. So I hear that you've been bullying my kid, you know, and then the parent will confront the kid's parents, the bully's parents, you know, and it ends up that now, you know, the conflict is at two levels, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I can imagine the job of the teacher or principal might be very difficult, right? Because it's not real time. It's already passed, you know, something after the fact. So all they can do is, you know, just keep an eye out and look out for aggressive behavior or things like that, and then talk to the boy about it, right? So because you don't have evidence, you have no videos about, you know, what the boy has done. So it's very difficult to, in that sense, allege or accuse the boy, you know, you have done this, I hear you have done this, all right, so I will punish you or something like that. Maybe, I think some schools, you know, during their assembly time, you know, they might talk about, you know, what is appropriate behavior, how to be nice to each other and things like that. I think that's about all they can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the
school counselors, though, school counselors are also another avenue, like the not so much about intervening, but at least an outlet for our child to go to straight away in schools. Let's say if they experienced a bullying during recess, for example, if the teacher, you know, the subject teachers usually have to mend the class and stuff like that, maybe directing them to an option is the school counselor, to speak to the school counselor first, instead of having to wait until after school, then come home and tell the parent, like, you know, at least they can tell an adult straight away, and and just to handle the emotions first before things get spiraled up. I think, yeah. Sorry, Hafiz, you're going to say something?
Yeah, so there are third parties, there are parents, there are schools, there are counselors who can probably, you know, do something, but we understand also that it's not going to be very easy. Until you know, we're able to get the facts and so on. So what would it be better for the parent themselves, we parents ourselves, teach our children how to handle bullies, you know, or even even before they are being bullied, you know, even stop it from happening. So what are the things that, you know, parents can do, maybe from your experience and observation?
I think the first question to ask is, you know, how should the parents respond when they find out that their child has been bullied? Okay, I think the response of the parent, immediate response, is very important, right? It can be, of course, one of shock or surprise. You know, it can also be of anger, you know, and wanting to do something immediately, right? To wrong the right and things like that. So what is appropriate? What do you think should be the appropriate response of a parent?
I would think the first time, the moment you hear it is, there are a couple of things, but I think to take it seriously, to at least give your child the impression that I take it seriously. Whatever, if it's listening, asking questions, you know, finding a little bit more, it's to let your child know that I'm taking this seriously, I'm listening. And I think, and like I said, you know, the whole mama bear instinct is like kind of, or papa bear maybe, you kind of rein it in and like, okay, you know, my emotions, I need to handle my emotions first. Let's get the facts and, you know, let my child kind of like, you know, share what they're going through. I think initially, I feel that that would at least help your child. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think as parents, I guess we need to be alert on such things. So I agree with Avina. We need to stop what we are doing and then really take time to listen to your child. Like, well, what happened? Tell me more. tell me more. What happened? How do you feel? Yeah, how do you feel about the situation? So make sure that the child is, your child is, or rather understand what your child is processing, how, and whether they're still processing it, or they, or I just want to know that I got bullied, but I'm fine, the kind of thing, or they still grappling with it. You know, like, where are they with their reaction?
And maybe really asking what really happened, right? To understand the situation better. You know, and along the way, probably help the child respond himself, how to react to such situations. Because it may happen once, may happen again. And I think empowering the child and getting them to do something about it, to stop. I think, Pak Sen, you have some experience in it. I heard.
Well, I have some experience, very, very limited one. I mean, on a personal level, you know, I was... Now, I've always this question in my mind, you know, where do we draw the line between being teased and being bullied, right? Because kids tease each other, right? So, you know, make fun of them, you know, call names and, you know. So teasing sometimes can be interpreted as bullying. So I think we also need to be careful. And I think sometimes teasing is in a playful manner, but sometimes adults take it a bit too seriously. And again, how that individual child receives it and goes back and relates that story to the parents. You say, you know, this friend of mine did this to me, and then immediately the parent says, oh, you've been bullied. It's been blown out of proportion. Now for me, I was, maybe it was teasing, all right? But at that time I was a very, very angry child. And so I gave him a warning and then two warnings, and then the, you know, strike three, you're out, right? So I just basically turned around and whacked him up a few times until he started crying. And that was the last of it. Now then, my son also was in a way bullied when he was in school, and it was taken care of by my eldest daughter. My eldest daughter, you know, said, oh, who's the guy? Okay, all right. He's going to get something. So I think one day when they were in school, he was, that boy was walking, and I think they were playing football or something like that, and she basically tripped him.
tag team.
Okay. I mean, when you talk about teasing and bullying, about, so I think the line is when the target person doesn't find it funny anymore. Because when I tease you, you laugh, ha, 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 then you know that's fine. But when you don't find it funny anymore, and you say, stop it, Kevin, and I don't stop, and I keep going, then I think that's where it switches to bullying. Like, I mean, if you want to draw a line, I guess, around there, when the person that you're teasing don't find it funny anymore.
So is it to react or to walk away and ignore? Which one is better, or depend on the situation?
React or walk away.
Oh. Yeah, some people may say that, you know, you make whatever that he makes fun of you, make it humorous. Because psychologically, if you don't take it to heart, then it won't affect you. Unless it's physical, I'm talking about psychological bullying, for example. So you just make it fun and walk away. Do not react and play into the situation, because definitely the bully wants you to react and entertain him, right? And he feels good, and it becomes a back and forth. But who wins, who lose? So if the bully is the one that has upper hand, you know, then I win and for you lose. Right, and therefore the person who lose psychologically may be affected if he plays into that, you know.
I guess it's like, if you're thinking, what does the bully want out of you? A reaction, a negative reaction. They want a sense of power and control over you. That means, in that sense, that you give the bully what they want. But if you don't give the bully that, the benefit of that, does that mean that they stop coming after you? Yeah.
So for example, the bully wants you to cry, right? And for you cry, right? I mean, the child cry, so he feels good. So instead of crying, you know, you laugh over it, you know, then the bully probably think, it's not funny. Maybe he try other things, but, you know, strategically, you have to react in another way. So again, how do you teach our child this, you know, that the psychology behind this, you see? Because our children probably just take it at face value. But I think as parents, we may understand better the intention and the, you know, tactics of these bullies. So when we're talking about how we, you know, educate our child, right, to react to or to respond to bullies, I think this is one of the ways that we can educate them.
Mm.
I think there's a place also to help the, you know, the child who's being bullied to understand, you know, what's happening or why the other child is bullying him, right? And I think Alvina alluded to that earlier, you know, by talking about empathizing, understanding the family dynamics, maybe, you know, that bullies basically are not people with very high self-esteem. They actually have a very fragile self-esteem. And that's why they need to do these kind of things to prop themselves up, you know, and to make themselves feel bigger than others, right? Because they feel very small inside, and therefore they have to, it's like certain animals, right? They have these defense mechanisms where they, you know, and they just prop themselves up, make themselves look bigger than they actually are in order to, you know, ward off other predators. So that's a very natural instinct, and it's in human beings also. So I think bullying, you know, a lot of times is because that person, that child or that adult, feels very small about themselves, and therefore they have to resort to these things. And again, you know, it could also be the family dynamics, what they have seen, and, you know, more things are caught than taught. So they have learned that, you know, it's okay to use aggression and violence to get people to do what you want them to do. Yeah, so I think helping our children understand this can, you know, can help them, and, you know, not be too fearful, and, you know, and say, you know, oh, poor guy, you. So imagine you saying to the bully, you know, you are a poor thing, you know.
That'll get them so confused.
Reverse psychology.
Then, really round up like that, getting like, oh, you think I'm poor thing? Is it? Let's see who poor thing. Then that's it. No, but I think I agree with Park Sir. I think the bullies, right? I mean, there's something missing in their heart, right? So it something not right in there. So I'm just thinking, maybe they're angry, so they need somewhere to vent their anger, so they vent out someone else, or they want attention, so they go and bully someone, so they get the attention. You know, so that actually they just want attention. So if they realize that if I bully someone, I get the attention, whether it's negative or not, no, but they get attention. Yeah, they whatever, you know, they need sense of control, so they bully someone, so they control things like that. So something in there is missing in that child. That's why they resort to bullying as a way of filling that void, lah, I guess. So I was thinking, one, would it be very radical to teach our kids, right? If someone, you know, there's a bully, right, and we kind of like agree that the bully, probably because they low self-esteem, they need a friend, then we actually ask the child to, like, buy a snack or something and write a note, right, to the bully, is that, here's a little gift for you. I felt that you need a friend or something, like, just to give them that. Like, then the bully like, how come kindness is shown to me even though I'm a bully? You know, kind of thing. Like, it messes up their mind a little bit, like, because they're angry child, but then someone is showing kindness to me, kind of thing. You know, like, very radical thinking, like, you know. But yeah, how we deal with bullies, like.
Then the bully will say to the child, okay, you know, I expect something every day.
Yeah, but Kevin, I thought that's a good observation, because what our children, I mean, they may not be bullied themselves, maybe the third party observing, and I think the dynamics of bullying is that the bully either get encouraged by people and joining him into with the action, or people not doing anything, you know, like just being a bystander, right? So we need to tell our children, if they are not being bullied, all right, they have to be aware that they can do something about it. At least not just keep quiet, as what Kevin say, right? Do something, you know, positive, or even report. You know, the least they should do is to join the bully. You know, sometimes it's really a fine thing, you know, like teasing, you know. Then you feel good as a big group, you know. And then, you know, it's just a matter of playing, right? But I think that's the part where the child must understand that, what if you are in that situation? Would you like yourself to be teased at? So if when you're in that state, do you like hope that other people come to help, or at least say something? Yeah.
I mean, my response to that bully who say, from now on you give me snack, yes, I'm here to be your friend, I'm here to be your slave, right? And so things like that. So it's really like just giving kindness to someone, you know, or you write a note to them, say, I forgive you. The kind of thing is like, wow, you know, basically you're just showing kindness.
Wow.
Right? You're just racking their mind a little bit, but not tit for tat. But kindness instead of violence, of aggression, you know, because like I said, there's something missing in that kid. But then when kindness is being given instead, you know, like, I don't know, just very
thinking. I think there are different age groups, right? So you need to also understand how your child operates. So if your child is, let's say, not quite in that kind of, have that disposition, right? And like what Parkson says, it might actually backfire and turn into something even worse. So I don't know if I would recommend that to my 8, 9, 10-year-old, because I don't know if he or she knows how to manage if it backfires and it like, oh, okay. My advice when they were younger really was don't find yourself in isolated spaces. Let's say practical stuff, right? Be, especially during recess, playtime and all that, be in spaces where there's an adult. You know there's going to be an adult there all the time, a teacher, whatever. And another thing I would say, always hang around with your friends. Stick with your friends when you move about. Another thing also, one last thing I told my child is let the teacher know. Every time it happens, let the teacher know. And so when my son did was he felt this empowering. He told the teacher, so-and-so did this, where, blah, blah, blah. And then when it happened again, he went back to the same teacher. Have you done anything? Because this boy did it again, you know? So I think this is where this is how we can empower our children to take action on some things and know who to turn to. I think that's knowing who to turn to. If it's not your parent at home, right? Like Kevin, you said, a counselor. There's a counselor. There's a teacher. So at least, the very least, they know some practical skills and at least know who can I turn to in this situation. My mom or dad, they're not here, but who can I turn to? Yeah.
Okay, final question. What can parents do to help their children be more resilient? Now, resilience is usually after the fact, right? If you fall down, you're able to pick yourself up. That's resilience. But I guess here what we are trying to talk about is how to prepare your child, mm-hmm. all right, for such an event where, you know, there is this mean kid that is trying to do something and, you know, be aggressive and be taking advantage and all that. Can parents do anything to, you know, prepare the child for that and to, you know, give the child the right kind of characteristics or, you know, attributes to be able to withstand these things?
Yeah, so thinking about this podcast about bullying and how we can prepare our kids, I thought one thing that we can do as parents, which I'll do later with my kids, is to have conversation about this bullying thing. Let's have a check-in, you know, like, are you being bullied in school? Or do you see anyone in your school being bullied? Just have conversations like that so that they are aware, and we can also pick it up. Because if some of them, when they are bullied, will keep it to themselves, and then that's a problem. But having check-ins with them regularly, it's a good way to actually, first step, I guess, rather than they can't tell you, mama, I got bullied, or papa, I got bullied, is they are already being prepped that if they are being bullied, what can they do? So I think first step is to have regular conversations about this issue of bullying in school, especially with mobile phones and things like that as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the child also need to have good self-confidence. I think in the school environment, or even, I mean, especially, right, they have CCAs, you know, get them involved with these social groups. So they are always have more friends and have practice how to deal with difficult situations, you know, and that brings the best out of them. So, and increase their self-esteem. So I think that's one way to, ensure some resilience.
I was thinking about it. There's so many things, right? But one of the things I think will really help with resilience is giving your children opportunities to problem solve, which then means we should allow them to fail, make mistakes, allow them to face consequences of unwise decisions, disappointments, frustrations, because I think that teaches them also that they can bounce back, that there may be a time where they need to make some decisions, they need to go through the whole process. So I think that giving them that kind of situation where they are in a safe environment, you know, rather than before they meet their first bully, let's say, it already builds them that kind of confidence, because they've experienced disappointment, they've experienced failures and all those things. And they know that, or they've got certain skills that can help them. Yeah.
Vina, I like what you said earlier when you guided Caleb to ask him, what would you do in this situation? So you actually let them come up with their own solutions. I did it with my kids as well, but just for fun. Right? So what can you do kind of thing. So even if that if it's a negative response, okay, what else can you do? It's like, well, I'll smack the guy back. Okay, yes, there's one response. Yes, it is an option, right? Yeah, okay. What else?
Yeah, of course.
Right. So yeah, so process with them a few options, and you know, I suggest, they suggest, you know, so that's we are brainstorming what we can do. But I think one of the things I always ask them to do is to tell an adult. Tell an adult, teacher, counselor, or parent, because I'm also training my kids also to be watching out. So they may not be the target of the bullying, but they may observe bullying happening.
Yes.
Right. But we don't want them to have a bystander effect where they just stand there and watch something happen and they don't speak up. Because I think recently, right, there was a video of a few school students in a car park fighting. Remember, they were beating up this other person, and then they were just watching, right? So I'm also training my kids to speak up, lah. Because in some sense, if you don't speak up, then the bully gets away with it, so to speak, and then the bully thinks that I can just keep going doing this thing and I can get away with it.
A bystander role is actually very, very important. I think there was some research studies where they realized that intervention by teachers in school or bystanders, it makes a huge difference when it comes to bullying. Yeah. So I think that's a message as well we should, you know, share with our children.
I think to, in that sense, toughen up a kid, all right, so that, you know, whatever happens, you know, whatever the child experiences, it would be like water on the duck's back. You know, it has to start very young. So, you know, I think that's where play, for example, you know, the rough and tumble, rough housing kind of play will help the kid to get used to, you know, knocks and, you know, being pushed and being kicked, being thrown about and things like that, you know. And I think that's where the father is a specialist of these kinds of play. And the other is teasing, you know. I think if done correctly, you know, when parents tease their own kids, right, calling them names and all that. Of course, you know, words is one thing, but your facial expression is, you know, will tell the child that, you know, we're just kidding. These little things can actually help the child get used to these kind of things. And so that when it actually happens, you know, it doesn't impact them. As compared to somebody who's never experienced any of these things, right? So it's very sheltered, very protected, you know, never had a scratch on him. And then suddenly, you know, something like this so traumatic happens to him. And it really hits him harder than, you know, another kid who has kind of been growing up with these kinds of, you know, friendly teasing and wrestling and things like that. So I think those will help, I know, if done correctly.
Right.
Interesting. Continue.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, when you talk about play and family, we always say it all starts from the home, right? And even for the bullies, they are bullied, and then sometimes it really starts from home. So I was thinking, I was also realizing that one of the earlier things that parents can do is also not tolerate bullying that happens between siblings. I think sometimes that does happen. That does happen. So it's the perfect environment, I think, for parents to step in and show that, you know, we don't tolerate this kind of behavior, and then we begin to teach our children how to have healthy coping skills, healthy conflict resolution, you know, sort of skills. So in a sense where we think about where all this comes from, home and what parents can do. I mean, our very first friendships are our siblings. So I think that's an environment that we can work on.
I think this is a good thing to happen in that sense, in a way that there's sibling rivalry and things like that, because that's where the parents, how the parents respond and handles the situation will tell the child that, you know, in the future, when I have similar experience, I know that, you know, there will be people who will be looking out for me and people who will help me and things like that. As you know, but if the child doesn't feel any support at home when he's being bullied by an older sibling, and, you know, he begins to have an outlook of the world that is safe, is unsafe, and people will not care about you and things like that. So I think, what happens, his experience at home will, in a sense, give him a certain mindset and outlook.
That's right.
So I think I cannot underline the more underline the importance of being aware of all this about bullying, because I've read a recent case where it leads to suicide. And this so-called bully side is a phenomenon that is happening. I think even a few years ago, MOE makes statements because of cases in school, a kid being bullied, and they even say that the school didn't do much, you know. So, I mean, the thing is, it's everyone's responsibility to keep that communication line open and to start listening to and be aware of what are the symptoms of bullying, such that it doesn't go unnoticed. No, I mean, we struck it off, you know, and all the signs, and it becomes worse and worse, and can lead to such a tragic consequence, which none of us, you know, would like to happen to to even not only our kids but other people's kids.
That's right.
Yeah, I think sometimes parents will say, you know, oh, this is just a phase. All right, it will pass. I think it does happen. It could be a phase, but there's also a possibility that it might not be a phase. But whatever it is, I think such experiences can be quite traumatic to the child, and you know, leaves a lot of some emotional scars on the child. So it's important that parents learn how to handle it properly, so that the children will be, you know, emotionally and physically, mentally healthy into their adulthood. All right, so this has been a very, interesting topic again, a hot potato. If it has not happened to your child, then consider yourself blessed. But if it can happen, so never say that it will not happen to me. But so it's important to learn how to handle it. And even if it's your friend's child, your neighbor's child, your nephew and niece, this knowledge and skill will come in very handy. All right, so thank you very much, guys, and till the next time, have a nice day.
Yeah. See ya.
See you. Stay safe.
Bye.